1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for Cody. One final hour. Cody's back tomorrow. And then we have a day game tomorrow, too. So we only have a two-hour show tomorrow. Cody's easing his way back in. Been fun, Bink. I appreciate you filling in, man.
It's been fun.
And then we're gone on Friday, too.
Well, Friday's a football planning day. We got some stuff to work on ahead of the football season. Every show's doing it on different days. Last Friday was the morning show. This Friday, it's us. So, yes, we kind of a weird schedule the next couple of days.
Because in 1 month, it is football go time.
That's right. We will be at training camp.
We've got some things
to get set for the football campaign. Hopefully add to what we've done in the football season the last couple of years, but hopefully make it better than ever, that kind of stuff. So text line, one last one. Someone said, Jay, your biography would be Dipping Buns, the life of a Joey Chestnut superfan.
Nice.
I liked it.
I don't like actually dipping hot dog buns, though. I draw the line. I like watching
dip,
it. I'm fine watching it, but doing it, no.
But you dip, and you like
sure.
hot dog
but
buns.
Dipping buns in water is something that's interesting.
That's what you got to do to win the competition, so you've told me.
I know that. No.
And if you're about winning, Bink, like we've talked about all show, then you're
We'll get back to Mahomes and Rodgers and stuff in a little bit. But thinking of quarterbacks, NFL.com was going through each division and ranked out what division has the best quarterbacks in the NFL. A couple of these divisions, totally agree with. There's a few that are way out of whack. So number one, they listed the AFC West as the best quarterback division in the NFL. And I think there's probably some debate there for some people in Cincinnati and Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. They would say, wait a second. But number one they listed was, obviously, it was Mahomes, Geno Smith, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix as that division.
As far as the list is concerned, obviously we'd say Mahomes. Number two? Do you think Bo Nix can creep up past Geno, or do you put Geno still ahead of him?
Well, Mahomes one, Herbert's two.
Herbert's two, obviously.
And then the question is whether or not Geno or Bo Nix is higher. And I would put Bo Nix above Geno.
Okay, but when your last place guy is still pretty good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Here was the number two division, NFC West. Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, obviously, 2 years ago, if he was the bottom tier quarterback, it'd be a much different story. If Sam Darnold's your worst quarterback in your division, based off of last year at least, you're saying, well, that's not too bad. So I have no problem actually with the first two divisions being there. The third one is interesting. NFC East, they listed as the third best quarterback division. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. You think that one's right?
Ooh, I think they could give number two a run for the money. NFC West. I think I think you make a good argument that NFC East would be higher than them.
Yeah, I think
because you have the Super Bowl champion.
Jaden Daniels was in an NFC title game his rookie year. Had the best rookie season we've ever seen. Jalen Hurts has been in two Super Bowls, got a ring. Dak Prescott, I know people love to hate on him. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And Russell Wilson, look, if that's your worst quarterback, you could do worse
he's
in your division.
Been to two Super Bowls, has a ring. So.
Yeah, well, but we're talking about what he did 8 years ago. You know, we're talking about what he is now. Russell Wilson in 2014 would be viewed as a top five quarterback or top 10 quarterback in the NFL, probably. Not now, of course. And then this is the one that doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't.
Fourth is the AFC East. Allen, Tua, Fields, May. Fifth is the AFC North. Lamar, Joe, Burrow, Aaron Rodgers. Their issue is they have Kenny Pickett / Flacco listed. So they're dragging that because they did this by an average. They listed Lamar as the number one quarterback, whatever. Number three was Burrow. Number 22 is Rodgers, and number 47 was Pickett. 40 is Flacco. So that there's your answer, Bink. That's why the AFC North is fifth, because their worst quarterback is in the 40s. The worst quarterback in the AFC East is 27, according to them, and that's Justin Fields.
But I do look at three of those guys that could make a nice run. Three of the four, I could see making a run in the postseason. Mm-hmm. One of them maybe even winning it all. So it's between Lamar, you know, a two-time MVP, Joe Burrow, had a great year last year. Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP. We'll see what he did with Pittsburgh. I do think him with Tomlin will be a good combination. And DK Metcalf, a wide receiver there. But I see three of those quarterbacks out of the four that can win games in the postseason. And one of them possibly winning it all.
And who's that?
I could see Jackson or Burrow have that capability to do it.
Sixth division they ranked was the North in the NFC. Goff, Love, Williams, McCarthy.
That absolutely can change.
And this is the one that has the most upside I would argue, of any of the divisions. Caleb Williams, obviously, right now you'd rank him, you know, bottom four quarterback in the league based off of last year. But we all would acknowledge, I think, unless you're just a Caleb Williams hater, and there's a lot of you out there, that at least this season, he's got everything right there for him, and there's no excuse. But also, Ben Johnson is much better than what they had before.
And his receivers, man.
Receiver room, Adunze, Burden, DJ Moore. Running back room is not terrible. O-line's completely revamped. So, I think there's definitely upside there at that division. Williams, Love, and McCarthy. Love still maybe has room to grow. McCarthy is a complete wild card, but with Kevin O'Connell, would it shock you if I told you he ends up having a nice season? And then Jared Goff, maybe he dips a little bit without Ben Johnson, but I think Goff at this point has stabilized his career.
Well, actually, the coach-quarterback combinations with three of the four are pretty damn good. And say who's the best team in the division is actually the Lions, but instead of Dan Campbell, I like what Dan Campbell's doing, but I would take Johnson with Williams. I would take LaFleur and Jordan Love, and I would take O'Connell and McCarthy. I mean, it's actually a very nice quarterback coach combination with three of the four.
In terms of offensive minds, yeah, Matt LaFleur, you're right. I mean, in terms of play callers, Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur, and Kevin O'Connell, that's pretty darn good from a play caller's perspective.
Absolutely.
Good place to be a quarterback.
And yeah. The fun thing is Jared Goff might be, you know, the division winner in here, but yet no Ben Johnson, obviously Dan Campbell. Nothing against Dan Campbell, but I like these other head coaches with the quarterback better.
The last two divisions, no surprise. NFC South, you're talking about Baker Mayfield being the best quarterback in that division, probably, right? We would agree.
100%.
And then Michael right now. Michael Penix, Bryce Young, and then Tyler Shuck. Like or Young. It's Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck's not exactly a lock, and he can't stay healthy.
I actually hope it's Spencer Rattler. I need to be able to flip a couple of his cards here.
South Carolina guy.
I had a couple cards from a pack. I did not buy
you
them.
To play well.
Don't
too,
worry. I did not buy breath. Spencer Rattler cards to invest.
You're a South Carolina guy. Aren't you?
Yeah, I did not buy Spencer Rattler cards thinking he was going to be good. But I happen to have a couple from, and I need him to start week one or two and look semi decent so I can quickly get out of those.
I'm really excited to actually. I know we talked about Ben Johnson and LaFleur. Ben Johnson throwing some shade at Matt LaFleur a little bit in the offseason pressers. I kind of like the potential for the Bears-Packers rivalry to get even more, you know, feisty.
Yeah, the issue with the rankings on this is because of how much the worst quarterback is weighed. Because I think if we're being honest, if you look at a division that has Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow in it and Rodgers, that's a better division than Mahomes, Herbert, and Knicks, or Mahomes, Herbert, and Geno Smith in terms of quarterback play. But the issue is that the AFC West is better in overall quarterback play because their worst quarterback is nothing compared to the worst quarterback in these other. That's the thing. So
it's also the quality of coaches with them.
Sure, but that's not what the ranking is. Adding it. That's a new criteria. But I'm with you, QB coach combos, but that for those asking, why is the North not first? Well, based on how they did this, it can't be because their worst quarterback is either Kenny Pickett or Flacco, which is far worse than Geno or Bo Nix or Justin Fields, even or Russell Wilson in the East or Sam Darnold in the West. That's the answer in how they did this rankings. But if we're just doing it off of you get to pick two quarterbacks from every division, that's all that matters. Well, then if we're only picking two, then the AFC North is top with Burrow and Lamar. The West, I would say, is second just because Mahomes outweighs a lot of it with Herbert. And then the East would be third because I would have Jalen Hurts.
Daniels
and Hurts. And then the AFC East would be after only because Allen weighs heavily, and it would be Josh Allen with probably Tua or Drake May. As much as Tua can't stay healthy when he's out there, he's not a bad second quarterback in your division.
I agree with it, man. I mean, I understand what they're doing here, though. You throw out the bottom because everybody's going to kind of get that bottom feeder. I'm just looking top to bottom. I'm thinking, man, the AFC West, I get it. You think about championships with quarterbacks and stuff, Fitzmahomes and stuff. Look at the quality of coaches with them. I know it's not part of the category, but I think that's what really makes this division special when you think about how good the quarterback coach got, because they're all winners. Like all the guys that are head coaches know how to win games, both at the collegiate level, some of them in the pro level.
Real quick, we were earlier talking about the Ketel Marte story there in Chicago last night. Marte plays for the Diamondbacks, and they were playing the White Sox. And awful moment where he broke down, started crying, and his man tried to console him because some jerk fan decided to yell something at him about his late mother that passed away in a car crash. Awful, awful stuff. we played you some of that audio, and the White Sox have banned the fan from tonight's game or from the stadium. Also, I saw a couple reports just came out that the White Sox plan to have a message, I don't know what it is, but for Marte, placed on the outfield video boards before his first at-bat in today's game. I think that's a nice gesture. As I told you, I think White Sox fans should honestly give him a standing ovation when he gets show that that's not who you are as sports fans
in
Chicago. But I don't know. Chicago White Sox, man, they've had some issues in that in the history of their franchise with, you know,
Jim Boa being attacked.
First base coach for the Royals obviously got brutally attacked by a fan. I'm not saying that there's not a jerk in every single fan base. Of course there is. But, man, it seems like they've crossed the line more than some at times. You know, like as bad as like the Yankees fans in the playoffs reaching over and stealing the ball from Mookie Betts or trying to, like, that's obviously unacceptable. This is a whole different level when you start, you're talking about somebody's mom in that way, that passed away in a car crash. It's just like, what are you thinking? So anyway, that's just an update on the story we talked about. I just saw that come across the timeline that the White Sox are planning to do something.
Well, good to see them doing it, but you think our fan base, man, I understand. Team's been rough. It's been rough, but that doesn't give you any excuse to do that. It's been tough, but they have no excuse to get those tickets, go to the game, and be the jerk-off fans, because chances are we're not talking a season ticket holder here. I mean, I haven't seen it.
I have no idea.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
I'm just guessing no.
Probably some random fan. Yeah, it doesn't matter, though, man. You're in that ballpark.
No, you don't do it.
And doesn't matter what city you're in, you cross that line. You should absolutely be banned. I'm glad to see that happened. It's an awful moment last night for Major League Baseball and for, obviously, for Marte to have to experience that. All right, let's get back to the Royals a little bit. We asked Vern about this team at home. 8 straight losses, 15 of 18, haven't won a month of June. Negative
6 straight series.
Negative 26 run differential at the K. This team has struggled to hit, period. At home, they truly just can't hit. They're right back, you know, to what this team has been offensively 90% of the season. There was promise last week. Obviously, you liked the Rangers series and what they did on Friday against the Padres, but those were outliers, clearly. What they did last night is what we've seen 90% of the season, and that's the real frustrating part of it, especially when it's against, you know, Taj Bradley, who's, let's be real, is just kind of a dude. He's just a dude in the big leagues.
They weren't
going up against Paul Skeens, okay? I'd understand, you know, if you're going up against Paul Skeens and he's got a perfect game through five, I'd say, well, Paul Skeens, okay? This was Taj Bradley. This is just a dude.
When Skeens faces him, that's when you hit that.
I don't know if he'll be scheduled to. I don't know if he's scheduled to pitch, and it was too far out, right? It's too far out. Otani, though, on Saturday, maybe at Kauffman.
Kershaw's not here.
And Kershaw's pitching Thursday before they come to Kansas City.
He'll be here, but
no, I know what you meant. Yeah, look, this is who this team has been offensively. I think what is really frustrating about it is not just the ongoing offensive issues, but when you're at home, man, like and I know the players know this, and it's not like they're not putting in the effort for it. We all understand that, but results are results. And if you're a fan, though, and you go to one or two games a year, Bink, which is most fans don't go to 10, 20, 30 games. That is a very select few. Most fans say, hey, we're going to go to one or two games, and then maybe if the team gets hot, we'll add another game to it. That's most fans, whether it's because of financial reasons or just time, right? You got busy life, family life. You got vacations in the summertime. You know, obviously you've got activities with kids, and weeknight games even in the summer can be tricky. So you try to get people to the ballpark, and right now you're over. In the month of June, you've been going to the ballpark. You've been getting an L every single time you go to watch. And it's not even just an L. It's a boring performance. You know what I mean? Like, the pitching's great, and we all praise the pitching plenty of times this year. But for the casual fan, too, it's not only that they're losing, Bing. When they go, they're scoring no runs or one run. I mean, it's just like the lack of excitement there.
Lack of excitement, and not only that, but just lack of the aggressiveness. Mm. Anything with the team. I mean, it was a lackluster performance from top to bottom. That's some stuff that needs to change, though. You know, you talked earlier about, you know, dust-ups and stuff that, you know, there's been times where the Royals could have thrown down with other teams, you know, with Indy being hit and stuff like that. There's been other times when the Royals have been intimidated in the box and whatever. Not intimidated, but they're trying to intimidate them. But there's been times they do it, but they don't react. They don't do anything about it.
Yeah, but that doesn't solve the hitting issues that they have.
It doesn't, but it brings the team kind of closer together.
I think they're a close team. I don't think that's a problem.
Well, they had the players-only meeting, stuff like that. I think stuff like that even goes further whenever you
it's just,
defend
you
each other.
You go to the ballpark tonight. Look, obviously,
but take away the money if you're not doing anything.
No, I hear you. I mean, look, I hope I'm wrong on this, but it's true. I mean, someone points out, like, you're going to go to the game tonight and you might see five hits from the Royals if you're lucky. I mean, that's the mentality that fans have right now.
But the good news is you always think there's that possibility. Because watched the game last night, I was like, you know what? I look at the ERA from who the Royals are facing. I think the Royals had a day off. Can you see what happened down in Texas? Some of that magic, things can change. But that's the Royals. They keep you busy and keep you wanting more. At least they get to that point because of the pitching staff. If the pitching staff was 15-16 lead, you're like, yeah, they have no shot.
Sure.
Because they would be screwed.
No, and I feel like it's been clear. I know people disagree with me on it, but like I don't think this season is over yet, despite I know a lot of you that text in do.
There's a lot of struggling teams.
There's too many. It's not even just like the overall amount of games left, but I've said it 100 times now. Like June 25th, the season's not over if you're 3.5 out of a playoff spot. If it is 7.5 on July 5th, well, then you'll hear me saying, hey, it's time to sell, boys. Let's go ahead and move on and build for 2026. That's not where they're at yet, though, on June 25th.
Because right now, they're just within a good week to be right back in it.
If they keep playing like this at home, then the answer will be very simple for what they do. If this homestand ends up being 1-5 or 0-6, I can tell you on Monday, I'll say, hey, all right, it's time. You're probably, at that point, 6 back, 7 back. But even then, it's technically not even July 1 on Monday. That's not till Tuesday, right? So it's just
crazy. To the All-Star break, but yeah, you may not be able to here. I mean, seriously, I've always said
July 5th to July 10th is okay. That whatever they are right there, that's to me going to dictate whether or not they should be flat out sellers or buyers. Although, as we talked with Vern, I think you can do a little bit of both as long as you're building towards 2026. But my idea of rental stuff is out the window. If it's July 10th and you're 7 out, I do not want you trading for a rental player. That does nothing for me. I understand the expectation of the season, but that doesn't help. Trading a piece to get a rental if I'm already, quote unquote, out of it, no. If they want to trade for a rental if you told me tomorrow they traded for one of the rental players, but nobody's available, it sounds like, but if you told me they could, I'd say, great move. I love it. You're trying to save the season. Love it. But on July 10th, 8 games out, I don't want you trading for a rental. That's where I'm at.
I'm 100% with that because it gets you nothing.
Yeah.
But a player just taking up development for somebody else.
You know, yesterday, away from the Royals for a second, you know, yesterday I was excited about something. I was excited about something happening in Cincinnati, which is not normally anything I've ever uttered out loud in my life. That's usually Drew, but yeah, it's true.
Hey.
Chase Burns. I was texting you guys. Did we not talk about Chase Burns yesterday?
We did.
Chase Burns making his MLB debut, top prospect in the Reds organization, top 10 prospect in baseball. His minor league numbers were better than Paul Skeens. Yesterday, all he does is strike out the first 6 batters he saw in his debut.
Judge, Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, it was also the Yankees line. It was one of the. I'm serious. I have no idea what his entire career is going to look like. I told you, I think he's winning a Cy Young yesterday. I told you at some point in the first 5 years of his career, I think he's that freaking good. You guys saw his stuff. How fun was that? I don't know how much you watched of it. I watched until he gave up the home run to Ben Rice.
About the same.
It was awesome to watch. There's been some great debuts, but he is just the third pitcher since 1961 to record his first 6 outs via strikeout in his MLB debut. That was one of the most amazing things I've seen from the poise on the mound. Drew, you said it. He's got a little swag to him, confident, all of it. Like, it was awesome to see. And we're all in on Chase Burns. Now I have a rookie of the year ticket on him now.
Nice.
His odds are cut in half. It was 50-1 on Saturday, 17-1 on Sunday, 14-1 before first pitch yesterday. By the fourth inning, his odds, and they are now, he's 3-1 to win NL Rookie of the Year.
He's the fifth player from last year's draft.
Yeah.
That's playing already from the first round.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That seems like it's
another college guy. He was a Wake Forest guy. Cags was a Florida guy.
But it's taking quicker time now to get through the system. The way things are doing now, teams are, it's not like go down to the minor leagues 3 or 4 years. No, we're seeing guys drafted a year ago. Well, actually with Finnegan, they got him that year, but that was an outlier.
He's a reliever too.
It was an outlier. Different. But we're seeing more and more of these guys. We've seen 5 now get called up where you're not putting your time in the major leagues. You see these teams, the sense of urgency a lot quicker now when you have this many guys already getting called up. They were in last year's draft. Because usually you watch major league drafts, we're not going to see this guy for 3 years or 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, now you are.
Yeah,
now I think you're seeing him the next year.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if this is the new trend or is it just, hey, this was a really, remember, we all know, if you talk to people, like this upcoming draft is not nearly as good as last year's draft. Last year's draft was loaded.
And
the Royals lucked out with it for not having a top 3 pick. The quality of the draft, like let's say this year picking 6th, it would be a worse spot to be in than last year picking 6th. But Chase Burns was the number 2 overall pick. And then, today, there's a heck of a pitching matchup in baseball, too. You got Skeens against Mizorowski, the kid from Green Valley, right? Is it Green Valley?
Green Valley. What's his odds for?
He's the favorite right now.
Oh, he's the favorite, okay.
Yeah, so Mizorowski and then Chase Burns are the two top favorites for NL Rookie of the Year. But Skeens and this Mizrowski kid's unbelievable too.
The game's already started, by the way.
He's hitting 102.
He's already gone an inning, two strikeouts.
He's hitting 102 on the gun, man.
Yeah.
That's an awesome matchup today. There's some great young pitching in the sport right now. Some guys that could end up really changing the league. But Burns is just, I'm obviously biased a little bit with Chase Burns, but that kid was unbelievable yesterday. I understand his line overall. You say, what are you talking about? His ERA is 5. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. Yeah. Strike out the first 6 batters. I mean, it was, and the Yankees lineup too. It was awesome.
Well, he's getting the Yankees lineup at a good time. The Yankees lineup is not performing. It's not playing well right now.
Yeah.
They have not played well at all. And the Rays are right on their heels. Well, it's kind of fun to see. Not beating the Royals, but the fact that they can catch the Yankees.
Yeah, Mizrowski stranded a runner on third. I just watched his strikeout.
They're just one game
fired
back.
Up too.
They're just one game back from the Yankees. That team the Royals are playing. It's crazy.
Well, the NLs go on the on the Central side. So like everybody's been talking up the Cubs because they've had a really nice season. You want to talk about the most competitive division right now. The NL Central, you have the Cubs who are, 40, what's the latest number on them? 46-33. So 13 above 500. The Brewers are 2.5 back. The Cardinals are only 2.5 back in their division. The Reds are 4.5 back. Other than the Pirates, everybody in that division is still in the divisional race. That's the most competitive division in baseball right now. I know you could say the West, but I think we all know the Dodgers are 18 above 500.
It was this one.
It was till it wasn't. I think the NL Central is easily the most competitive division in baseball. The East, people would argue Yankees, Rays, Blue Jays all within 3 games of each other. That would be the only probably pushback someone would give me. But the NL Central is going to be really interesting this year. And I know it's a lot more fun to talk about other teams when your team is competitive. So right now, I know it's not as fun to talk about how tight other divisional races are when right now the Royals have lost 8 in a row at home and all this. I get it, but I don't know. I've enjoyed this baseball season outside of how the Royals have done. I think there's some great storylines going on in baseball right now, but the Royals, man, with all the expectations that we've had for them this year, it's obviously been a massive disappointment to this point. There's still half the season to go, though.
Well, you're trying to get things going at home for a team that won at Kauffman Stadium during June, and you're facing some great teams right now. As mentioned, the Rays, one game back from the Yankees, a highly motivated team. Then, of course, you got a first-place team coming in. Right? It's tough, man. It's going to be tough. Outside of the Pirates with the Royals, who knows what happens. I mean,
I thought the Royals could
sweep the A's, and clearly they got swept. So, yeah, it's baseball.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll get back into some comments about Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers that had Bink fired up, and one player admitted something that I don't think you should admit publicly. That's next.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals have lost 8 straight at home, 15 of 18. Game 2 of their series against the Rays is tonight at 6:40. Michael Wacha gets the nod. He's got like a 2.7 something ERA at the K going back to last season. Vern's on deck show, 5:30, right here. Your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
One thing about the pitching staff, they definitely have stoppers. They need it tonight because hopefully you can hear you and Cody tomorrow talking about, a chance to go out to the K tomorrow afternoon and see a series win again against these great teams. Don't want this to become 7 straight series losses if they lose that game tonight. That would be brutal. But last night was extremely frustrating. NBA draft round 1 tonight. Going to be round 2 tomorrow night, so just round 1 tonight. Cooper Flagg, of course, will be number 1 overall pick and head to the Dallas Mavericks. This, to me, is a Twitter/X event.
Yeah, first few picks, so as I said, I'll watch. After that, it's give me the updates, especially since it gets very confusing after, pick 9. There's this guy gets drafted, then he gets traded, then he gets traded to that team who then made this pick. And the guy's wearing a hat for the Nets, but he's really a member of the Thunder. It gets very, very confusing.
Speaking of the Thunder, there's a report that they're trying to get into above 15. I know we talked about it a little bit, Gold.
Yeah.
Reports around the Thunder a little bit, trying to move up again.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that tonight. Next up on What's Trending, we have multiple times today touched on that story out of Chicago with a fan yesterday towards the player for the Diamondbacks, Ketel Marte, and saying something very hateful towards him about his mother that passed away. And that fan was ejected last night. The fan now, I just got an alert from ESPN that fan for the White Sox has been banned from all stadiums.
Okay,
so good. That's exactly what should happen. By the way, they're already
definitely.
Yeah, they're playing their day game right now. The White Sox did put up like a nice message on the outfield video boards when Marte stepped in the batter's box saying like Chicago is behind him, because that was a terrible, terrible moment last night. And Chicago fans should be embarrassed by that, obviously. I understand it's one fan, but still, we all knew that's a terrible, terrible thing that happened. Glad to see he's banned from all stadiums. That guy should not be allowed to watch baseball in person.
Again, it's one thing to talk about how a guy's playing. Sure. Everything's fair game when it's between the lines. But outside that, family, stuff like that, stay away. Whit Merrifield announced his retirement.
Congrats to him.
Whit responded to that, but Whit Merrifield put together a nice career. Always kind of that underdog, you know, from going back to where he was in college, that walk-off hit, college World Series, things going good for Whit. Took him forever to get to the major leagues, then became damn good. Three-time All-Star, twice led the league in hits, and one year he did hits and stolen bases. Put a nice little career. It just wasn't good timing for Whit, as the big money wasn't going to come until later.
It's a shame.
The wrong age.
It's a shame how it ended, obviously, in Kansas City with everything, both on the field and off-the-field stuff, and reaction and everything there. But he had a hell of a career. Congratulations to Whit Merrifield. Also, his retirement post was pretty funny. I don't know if you caught that yesterday. His agency put it out, and he was talking about each, you know, how special, you know, it was to be in Kansas City, also in Philly and all. But when he talked about Philly, he said he apologized for his poor play. Quote, "Philly, I liked you way more than you liked me. Sorry I stunk for you." I love it. That was in his retirement post yesterday. That is what's trending, by the way, here on Cody and Gold. As you can hear, Jay Binkley filled in for Cody. Cody is back tomorrow. Bink, I appreciate you filling in, man, the last week and a half or so.
Cody's dance contest. He danced well.
We'll find out. He was dance dad. I'll ask him tomorrow how that went. He'll be back in the saddle. He'll be back in that seat right there, man.
Yeah, good to see him. He's short show tomorrow.
Yeah, Royals have a day game tomorrow. That is definitely true. A little day game action against the Rays. Someone says, how do they enforce that ban on that fan? Well, with the tickets being digital, my guess is there's some ways they can do that. Some of it is probably more of like, hey, if you get caught, you are trespassing kind of thing. You know, they obviously don't, they're probably not, you know, having his photo hanging up at every gate at every MLB ballpark. But it's one of those where like, if he's caught being in the stadium, then they can charge him for trespassing. I'm assuming that's kind of, I don't know, some of that works in security or at the stadium could probably tell me how that kind of thing works. If it's digital tickets, they can probably ban his MLB ballpark account. But if he were to go with a buddy and you're like, can you prevent him? Look, I'm sure he could walk into a random stadium in 3 weeks and nobody's going to recognize him. But if somebody does recognize him, or somehow link it to him or whatever, then he's being charged with trespassing is my guess of how that works.
Clearly knew what he was doing. That's just something that just comes up.
Facial recognition. I mean, they have that if you enter the fast line or whatever they call it.
I think they can spot you too. Nowadays they can zoom right in on you.
I just, you know, they've got security teams that can take care of some of that stuff.
Just as long as he's not talking to players about personal things.
Yeah, that's messed up. That is messed up. Before we get to some comments from an NFL player that I'm surprised he said publicly, we already discussed this a little bit earlier, but you felt like it was one of the worst takes of the offseason when Sam Munson was talking about the impact a player has had over the last century, right? In this 21st century, not over the, in the 21st century. And ESPN did their all-century team, quarter century, I guess, at this point. And they had Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes and Brady in the top three. And which is fine, I think. Mm-hmm. Sam Munson said that Aaron Rodgers had more of an impact than Patrick Mahomes of the last quarter century.
I think when you're talking, there's a difference between like who is better, who is more talented, who is, you know.
Don't say talented.
There's a difference between like who has a greater degree of ability or ceiling or whatever, and who is had a greater impact over this century, which is 25 years old, but we're only going to count 5 years for one guy. Like Rodgers has had a greater impact on the 21st century NFL than Mahomes has. I would.
Impact.
Mahomes has been entering his ninth season in the league. Rodgers obviously is 41 years old. He's about to wrap up his NFL career. He's been to, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's been an MVP, four-time MVP. He's had an unbelievable career. He's a top 10 quarterback in NFL history. You would agree?
No question.
So influence, you would agree that Rodgers has had an influence on the league?
Well, sure. He's always a factor. When he was a starter, he always had to worry about them, and they always had a chance because he was the quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes has obviously had a massive influence on the National Football League in only 8 years in the league.
A bigger influence because as good as Rodgers was, he never turned them into a dynasty. And I think of dynasties being impacts.
Sure, and I think they are. Remember, though, this is not a conversation of who we think is better, who's going to end up having the better career, who has had the better career. That's not what they're debating in this influential type of question. I'm with you that Mahomes has been more influential even in a shorter period of time because of everything he has already accomplished. He's changed the way quarterbacks in college are looking to play. He's changed the way teams are scouting.
And in my mind, Alex, he's the face of the league. I never saw Aaron as the face of the league.
Because of Brady's crossover.
Yeah, I never saw it, but I've seen Mahomes as the face of the league.
I think, though, as I told you, I'm on your side that Mahomes is the answer here. I just don't think it's as crazy. Like, his take about Rodgers, like suggesting that it could be Rodgers, I'm open to having the conversation. It's not, you think it's a terrible take on his part. I disagree with it. I don't think it's the worst take I've heard all summer. That's for sure.
I think it's I understand and I respect what Rodgers, but could we be talking about any quarterback, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, anybody.
I hear you.
And Mahomes had the biggest influence because of what he's done with the sport, what he did to his city. It became big league city with everything that he's accomplished. The fact that he's won 3 Super Bowls, gone the 2 more and lost them, only been a starter for 7 years in the league. Oh, he's only gone to the AFC title game or Super Bowl every single season of his career. The only quarterback in the history of the game that can make that claim. That's an impact. The fact that you're doing a dynasty, Tom Brady. Dynasty,
but the 4 MVPs are also an impact, is my point.
No, like, it is
Mahomes is the answer, but acting like Rodgers doesn't even have any bit of a case here, I think.
That's fine. Rodgers, 4 MVPs. Well, Mahomes got 2 regular season ones, 3 Super Bowl MVPs, but 3 rings. That goes a long way. And the fact that he's always good. 7 straight AFC title games means he doesn't go out there and have a bad year. He's always in the championship game before.
I'm 100% with you, but the same way you're trying to use the longevity against Rodgers now, too. Because Mahomes, we don't know how the final 3 years of Mahomes' career is going to look.
But he built his team up to be a dynasty. That's something that Rodgers never did with the Packers. Patrick Mahomes has built the dynasty. Tom Brady's built the dynasties. 2 dynasties in this decade.
Yes, those are the two greatest quarterbacks in NFL history.
And also, I look at, impact on football. What do you do for TV? Well, Mahomes is a ratings.
Ask Pat McAfee what Aaron Rodgers has done for ratings.
Mahomes,
again, the Chiefs. 3 different streaming services. Their first game ever was the Kansas City Chiefs. That's an impact.
But that's not.
And the fact that he's got 17 postseason wins, that's an impact on the game. Aaron Rodgers has 12 total. Patrick Mahomes is number 2 all time in postseason wins.
I would side with Mahomes as well, but acting like Rodgers doesn't have a case is not.
It's not about Rodgers. It's about Manning. It's about any quarterback that played in the century.
Okay.
It's about century, the most influential in this century.
And a quarter of a century is 25 years, and he's entering his 9th.
I'm just saying, it's Brady and Mahomes.
So why, when they do all-century teams, there's guys that were better players but only were part of 4 years of a century? Why they're not on an all-century team?
I wouldn't put Mahomes, considering what he's accomplished and the fact that he's always
been around. Don't think it's a crazy conversation to have from Sam.
I don't
think it's a crazy conversation that someone wants to make a case for Rodgers. That's all I'm saying. I think it is Mahomes. Go ahead, Drew. Sorry.
Bink, if the Chiefs made it to, let's say the Chiefs have made it to all the Super Bowls they have, but they've only won one of them. Does that change your opinion?
Probably not, because of the team's success for 7 straight years.
Again, hang on a second.
And also, team success is very important. This team, and it goes back to Alex Smith, they've won 9 straight division titles. Aaron Rodgers didn't do that.
Bink, but it is the thing. See, you almost answered the question for yourself there. You said the team success. That's where I think this conversation, you open up all kind. For as much as you say Mahomes has done all these things, which he has done, and that's credit to him.
If you made the flip argument and put Rodgers instead of Mahomes, I'd say he's the one.
If you're going to use the win argument, the win argument, the how many rings, you have to encompass the team aspect in there as well, where I think that changes things a little bit when you're talking about Andy Reid versus Mike McCarthy. I think it changes a little bit in terms of influence. The reason why you should have said absolutely not, it doesn't change anything, is because as long as Mahomes is making the games, he's being talked about the most. I think Gold mentioned it as well. When you're making the games, forget even if they do well, people see you more than anybody else. So even if Mahomes is, even if they, if you could argue, if Mahomes, let's say they make all these Super Bowls and the Chiefs don't win a single one of them, you could still potentially, and Mahomes is as good, all of his stats are the exact same, but the Chiefs don't,
Kelly.
But the Chiefs don't have a single Super Bowl. I think you could still argue your case and your side of things because we see Mahomes more than anybody else. Because he's always in the AFC title game.
I guess what I would
always
ask.
Always in the Super Bowl. So influence is always going to be higher because you see them more often.
Yeah, I guess I would ask. And again, that's the separation of like we're, greatest quarterback of all time debate is different than who was most influential.
Yes, agreed.
I would love if we were just go quarterback by quarterback. How many times would some if we just randomly surveyed someone who was more influential? I'm talking about we can go back to Steve Young, to Montana, to Bradshaw, Marino, Unitas. I'm serious. Like how many people would always just choose the better quarterback? And that, I guess that's my argument. And that's why I don't think Sam Monson's point is crazy. While I think Mahomes is the answer. If we're just going to say every time the answer who's most influential is always the best quarterback, well then we're not really asking who's the most influential, yeah. Right? That's all I'm saying.
I'm just looking at there's been since a century there's been two dynasties, Patriots and the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have a dynasty. Rodgers never had a dynasty, so that would put him behind Mahomes and Brady right there. The dynasty aspect of the whole thing.
You're using team stats as a reason to back up the quarterback play.
Mahomes may not now, but he has been the, quote, face of the league.
For sure.
Brady has been the face of the league.
Mm-hmm. Because I
would never said Rodgers was the face of the league.
I think that you can make a case now that by the way that people talk about Josh Allen, I think you might get out of 10, if you ask 10 people, 10 random people, not in Kansas City. You'd have to ask them somewhere random. If you ask them who the most influential quarterback is in the league right now, today, I think Josh Allen would be mentioned at least 3 times or 4 times.
Some people are dumb, Drew. If you're doing random people, you're running into them.
Because I think that... It's the same reason why people think that some quarterback is better than another one, or because when you throw in team stuff, I think it's really difficult to say quarterback influence is a part of that, because otherwise you would note the most ridiculous of examples, like Trent Dilfer. Well, you know what? Team wins, man. Trent Dilfer. That man's got a ring. Lamar Jackson does. He's got more wins than Lamar does. He's got a better record than Lamar does in the playoffs. That man's pretty damn impactful compared to Lamar Jackson, which is a ludicrous take. There's sides to everything, but I think you have to look at the individual more than wins, more than playoff record, because it's a team sport. And the fact that they've had Andy Reid and a great defense, and Brady did as well, had a great defense. It's hard to really look at the individual quarterback play when you're looking at a run and the success of a dynasty. Quarterback play is part of it, but I don't think that's the end all be all in terms of influence. Like Michael Vick is one of the most influential players in NFL history, period.
I get it. The
man didn't win one. He didn't even make one.
I saw the Green Bay Packers dominate, build up a team with Brett Favre, hand off there, and Rodgers. Chiefs haven't had that. Like they never had that success where for you Favre to Rodgers. They went 20.
Right, nobody's disputing that.
They went 20.
That doesn't change anything.
They went 21 freaking years without a playoff win. Think about that. Somebody that was born.
But that's a team thing again.
Think about it. Somebody that's born can sit in a bar and drink a beer legally. The distance of time the Chiefs win a playoff game. Mahomes enters the equation. He's got 17 postseason wins, second all time. Second all time, only to Tom Brady. That's an influence.
All right, let's move away from this. We can go in circles. I told you, Brink, I agree Mahomes is the answer. We just disagree on the Rodgers saying there's not a case to be made for him is where we disagree. And I don't think Sam Munson was that off base for saying that. Anyway, Deontay Johnson, who at one point was a guy people in Kansas City mentioned as a trade candidate midway through the season. People wanted him here. I think I might even have said, hey, I'd be intrigued. And he ended up not really playing at all for Baltimore. And he said something out loud yesterday that I'm shocked. Now that he's in Cleveland, the fact he admitted this was crazy. He admitted that he did not go into a game because it was cold. Quote, I wasn't getting into no run plays, no passing plays or nothing. It was cold. End of the third, going to the fourth quarter, they were like, hey, Tay, we need you. I was like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea for me. My legs are already ice cold. I didn't want to go out there and put bad stuff on film. It's not like I didn't want to go in the game, but leading up to the point, up to this point, I had been through so much. I told them I'm not going to go in. So I just sat on the bench. That's when they suspended me. I don't care how cold you are. I don't care if you're mad about playing time. If you, and this is why he ultimately got cut by the Ravens, but an NFL player saying he's too cold. And by the way, not just that, like, oh my, I need to get stretched, you know, or whatever. No. Bink was about to have me have a drop there again for him. But if we don't have a
drop is in there.
Oh yeah. From earlier.
From earlier. You've said it twice now.
Yeah. Look, if his argument is he needed to get warmed up, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he was too cold. This is crazy. I don't know. Cleveland. If I was the Cleveland Browns, I'd be like, they also traded for Deshaun Watson, so they don't care.
A single
but like,
team in the league.
I don't want this guy on my team. I need to get stretched out. Okay, Drew. Okay. Deontay Johnson was talking about.
There's not a team in the league that should have him play for him. To be honest with you, because you're going to get in post. I don't care if you play Miami or whatever. You're still going to probably find your way playing.
41. You play in Cleveland.
It just shows your commitment level. It shows your commitment level to the sport. Again, combine. People ask crazy questions. How much do you like football? Yeah. How much? Why do you ask that question? Because of Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I would not want him on my team, plain and simple. I'm worried that in November, there's a key moment in the game. We need him in there. And he's like, it's 22 degrees outside and snowing. Too cold for me.
I'm good.
Because you didn't throw me the ball in the first half. I'm going to pout. That's all this is. I mean, honestly, who the hell wants this guy on their football team? Cleveland.
You want
I guess.
That guy influencing your young receivers to join
Cleveland's
your team?
Cleveland traded for Deshaun Watson. They signed Kadarius Toney after the mess here in Kansas City. You know, so it's Cleveland, you know.
You want that it was guy 41
degrees.
The other players?
It was 41 degrees the day that he said he was ice cold.
That's a heat wave.
41. Good luck in Cleveland, man. Good luck. First cold weather game.
He's behind Jerry Jeudy and
what's their depth chart? Hopkins is there.
I mean, he might be third on the depth chart. He might have to play. He might have to suck it
I
up.
I always wondered what he would have done had he been that minus 31 degree wind chill. Like, would he even step on the field? Or he'd be like, I'm good.
I'm thinking. I got Baltimore, Cleveland confused. DeAndre Hopkins is on Baltimore. Sorry. Yeah. Cleveland's, that's my fault. Cleveland's wide receiver room. Who is that? Who else is there?
I mean, Jerry Jeudy is the one.
Yeah.
And that's it?
They drafted somebody, didn't they?
Maybe. I obviously spent two picks on quarterback.
Yes, they did. Yes, that's what I hear. I've heard they drafted some guy named Shador Sanders.
He should be starting.
I'm pretty sure that's, you know, that's somebody they drafted.
Dylan Gabriel has something to say about that.
No.
Cedric Tillman, Jerry Jeudy, and Deontay Johnson are their top three receivers.
Shout out to Cedric Tillman.
Don't forget they drafted two running backs, too, right away. Cleveland.
Oh, Quinshon and Dylan Sands. Yeah. I like the Dylan Sands.
I like both of them.
Well, they moved on from Nick Chubb. Houston, right?
Yeah, they brought in running backs.
They might
be
trying to turn into a little bit of the Lions, where it's like, yeah, we're going to run the ball heavily, and then we're going to hopefully have a quarterback who's okay enough to.
They obviously don't have the weapons. To be honest with you, what they were doing, I was like, what are you doing, Cleveland? Because I want the Chiefs to get some of these guys.
Yeah.
They're good picks.
Someone says, does this guy think Cleveland is the tropics?
Yeah,
apparently.
Good thing he's not in Buffalo.
He looked at the weather at the time he signed and was like, oh, yeah, this is great.
Oh, Cleveland, they have 70-degree weather in March?
He was also in Baltimore, so he traveled to Cleveland. I don't know when they played.
I don't think he's thinking.
The Browns? Come on, Deontay.
Don't want him on my team, plain and simple.
No.
All right, tonight, Royals, do you think they snap this thing? They get rid of this home losing streak?
I would like to say yes. I'd like to say, yeah, I think, you know, I feel good about tonight. I feel good that they're going to turn things around. That was yesterday. A day off, and you get to go play against a pitcher you should be able to touch up that has given up 7 and 6 earned runs in different games, and yet they were almost perfect game went through the fifth against them. So, no, yeah. I want to see it from the Royals, but the frustration level is I keep expecting different results. What do they call it? Insane when you're insanity.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah, when you're expecting different results, you get the same thing. No, I mean, I'd love to say it. But I don't feel.
Yeah,
It'd
be off of hope and emotion if I said, "Oh yeah, tonight's the night the bats get going." No, if they're going to win tonight, Michael Walker is going to have to give them another 6+ solid outing, one or less, you know, two or less runs, and you hope that they're able early on in the game tonight to get Bobby on, and then you see Vinny finally drive a runner in from second or third. That it's got to be something like that. Like this team, as we've said over and over, is going to flirt between three under 500 and three above. So they're not, you know, I understand they have this long losing streak at home. They're not going to lose 15 straight at home. I don't believe that. All right. So the question is it tonight? They've lost 15 of 18. That's not 15
seven straight series.
Yeah.
Though?
I don't know.
No, but at home. Look,
tonight, if you're asking, am I betting on the Royals to win tonight? No, I am not betting on the Royals to win tonight.
I would not either, because the Rays are extremely motivated being one game back from the Yankees.
That's true. All right, Bing. Hey, thanks for filling in the last week and a half
Man.
Cody's back with us tomorrow. We just have a two-hour show tomorrow with some day baseball on the show. Thanks to Drew for producing the show. The Drive with CDOT and Rob up next here on 96.5 The Fan.